Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
Wow, did Josh Naylor save the season? Probably. Possibly all of those things. It is Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast for another week at WaitingForNextYear.com, the Evergreen Podcast, a network on a Monday, May the 13th or the 15th. We even know
15th,
what day it
baby.
Is,
but, I know what day it is because it's my sister-in-law's birthday today.
Oh, happy Jessica birthday, Jessica.
I won't out her. You can't age. Say she's younger than me. She's younger than me, but she looks fantastic. She's peaking right now. I gotta give her credit.
Where's this
going?
I love
my sister-in-law. I don't know. Yeah. It's her birthday today.
Matt and Todd with you on a glorious Monday. And really yesterday was a huge day for the Guardians as they knock off the Angels 4-3. They take the series. They win 2 out of 3, so they go 5-4 on the homestand. Again, great pitching. Tanner Bibee pitched well. But Todd, what a roller coaster of a week. But the weekend was highlighted by Josh Naylor, who set a major league record, 3 home runs in 3 straight days, in 3 straight 8th innings to give him the lead. And he really did save the season because this team had been scuffling and he was fantastic. My God.
I still can't get over the fact. Well, there's several things. And I saw the yesterday when he went deep in the 8th inning, Sandoval was pitching so well for the Angels, you know, that he got into a little bit of trouble, but like, okay, you want to leave Sandoval in lefty lefty against Naylor. I mean,
yes,
I think everyone in the entire league knows that Josh Naylor doesn't hit lefties very well. I mean, I know Friday night he crushed that homer off of a lefty. I was there, it was Matt Moore. But wouldn't you rather have Matt Moore come back out and face him again and take those odds rather than taking or leaving Sandoval out there lefty lefty and then yanking him? But Phil Nevin, the Angels manager, who really managed a clinic on how to not manage your bullpen this weekend, takes him out, goes to his closer Estevez, who, you know, first pitch was a delay. What is that stupid
ball,
thing going on? Automatic violation. Ball. So then the second pitch he threw was a ball. Naylor was sitting dead red on that fastball, and he destroyed it. By the way, the wind was blowing straight in yesterday, so he really tagged that ball. But I don't know if – I'm not going to go as far as saying he saved the season, Naylor, but if you go back to last year, the team really took off, and it was a year ago last week when Naylor had the infamous game against the White Sox where he hit the 3-run homer in the Grand Slam. And this has a similar feeling to it. The offense still didn't do much, you know, overall, but we actually saw some home run balls. And look, hey, they won 2 out of 3 because they actually hit some home runs. It's not a coincidence, but I got to give Naylor a ton of credit because 3 home runs in the 8th inning to give your team the lead in 3 consecutive games is just incredible. And he really seems to pick the right spots to do so. And I'm so happy for him because he's such a good dude. And you see his interviews after the game. He's just a great dude. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the team. They really needed that badly because, let's be honest, they played like total crap against the Tigers. And for the most part, they didn't play good baseball against the Angels either.
No, and that's been the biggest concern. And first and foremost, you have to laud Josh Naylor for what he's done. Like we said, it's a major league record. It's something that's never been done before in the live ball era, or whatever that means. Following the merger, since the merger, might as well do that. That's a good bit, the NFL bit.
A merger, a partnership. Yeah.
By the way, we're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Groove Ride, and Breaking Tea t-shirts at breakingtea.com/dairy. Thanks to our friends at the Evergreen Podcast Network. But no, seriously, carrying the team like that on a weekend where they don't get much offense again, you know, Friday night, they scored just enough where you felt pretty good. And then Clase blew the save. You've got to outscore the Angels. The Angels lineup is really, really good. Then you add Moniak the other day, who had just, they had just brought up from AAA. And remember, he was number one overall pick years ago. He's no slouch. I mean, he's got talent. He comes up and is spraying the ball over the place on Saturday. You know, Renfro, who I wish we had in right field, Neto, they've got a nice lineup. Drury, Rendon, when he's healthy, he's never healthy.
Gio, who kills us.
Yeah. So they have a good, they have a good lineup. And you know, playing the Angels, you've got to win games 8-6, 6-5, like that. And, you know, first couple days, again, Friday and Saturday, at least early, not a lot of offense. Yesterday, not a lot of offense until the Naylor bomb. And it's still a concern, you know, and we could talk about that. But like you just said, Todd, you bring up a great point. Bad baseball being played. Outs on the bases, drop pop-ups leading to two-run home runs. You know, missed cutoff men happened in the Detroit series. The ball's just rolling around the infield, and the Tiger guy runs home. Ball misses the cutoff man the other night. Angels take the extra base. That's unacceptable. And they've got to clean that up as they head on the road this week to play the White Sox and the Mets.
Yeah, it's not good when the style of baseball they're playing. Well, first of all, some of the decisions that are being made, I don't understand. Like, they're not running nearly enough.
They lead the league in stolen bases. Run. They're never on base and they still lead the league in stolen bases. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's what's so crazy. But I'll tell you what. I was there Friday night, and you know, they are playing. I'll give them this. They're still at least battling to the end. Yes. I mean, I know they won 2 out of 3, but you know, Friday night's game, all three games, they made a late game comeback to take the lead. Just the Friday night game was obviously blown. You can see it's there. It's just, you know, it comes back to once again that nobody is hitting. I mean, you know, you look at yesterday's game and they, you know, they had 7 hits, but like, you know, 4 runs on 7 hits. And we're like, oh my God, they scored 4 runs on 7 hits.
I know.
It's a miracle.
I know.
And this weekend they scored 4, 8, and 4. And all of a sudden, you know, we talked about this with the executive producer. The tone of this podcast was going to be way more positive because we actually scored some runs. I mean, I come back to what I said last week. When you look at the overall schedule of games that they've played, and it's like every single game, it's either a close win or a close loss, or they may get blown out from time to time. We are not blowing anyone out. Here's this week's games, just like last week. Okay. So they lost 6-2 Monday. Then it was 2-0 win, 5-0 loss, 5-4 loss, 8-6 win, 4-3 win. So once again, it comes back to everything has to work correctly. The bullpen is totally taxed because the good guys always are having to pitch. And now, because we're having such an issue with every one of these games being close, you have to use these certain guys in certain spots. And Sandlin, I got to give, you know, I'm no Sandlin fan. Sandlin pitched really well the other night, because they had no choice. They had to use him. So when you don't get those opportunities to blow teams out ever, and the pitching, like you have been saying for weeks, has to be so fine,
right,
that it just puts such pressure on these guys. And, you know, you can't go through a major league season and win a division playing one run games or two run games every night. You just can't. You know, you need some laughers here and there. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'd like to see it sometime soon.
Yeah, there's been a stress on the pitching. You know, look at Cal Quantrill. I thought he had 2 really good starts this past week with the Twins, where he had the no-hitter going. And then the other night against the Angels, it didn't look great early when it was 3-0. You're like, oh, come on, Cal, what are you doing? But these guys are squeezing the baseball hard because they don't get any support. It was 3-0 Angels. He ends up going 6. He gets that John Lowe quality start, put it in the record books, and goes 6 and allows 3 or less. So he did his job against that lineup with arguably 2 of the top 5 players in the game in Trout and Ohtani. Not even arguably, they are. And I thought for the most part, they did a pretty good job on Ohtani. I mean, they kept him in the ballpark this weekend.
They pitched to him well. There were some times where he just, I think it was, I know yesterday.
Yesterday's a little slicer.
He's so good. Like,
yeah.
He just poked that pitch, and it was a good pitch. It was away, and he just went with it because right. He's that good.
Did Trout or Ohtani homer this weekend? I don't think either.
No, neither of them did.
So that's good. But like, you're putting so much stress on these pitchers because every game, you're right, is a grind because this team cannot score. And how many times, and then when they are scoring, Todd, it's all right, first and third to start the game off against Detroit. Sweet. Kwan gets a double. Ahmed hits a single right side. Now it's first and third. And we're waiting on a Jose sack fly and the inning's over. That's not going to cut it. Like, can we get a ball in the gap? Can we get a ball over the wall? Like, I know Jose got hit one of the fence the other day, but you know, it's, you know, sack fly kings. We used to make jokes about last year with Owen Miller, Mr. Sack Fly. But like, no, you've got to put a crooked number up once in a while. Like Rick Manning says, I need a 3-pointer early.
Well, you're right. And you know what? It was so nice on Saturday that they actually had that bit, you know, when they had the 6-run 8th, when was the last time you remember them having like a, hey, they batted around this inning, you know, like
they did, which they did. Doesn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so nice to see. And it came at such a good time. And again, like you said, that game, the sloppy baseball, you know, the Ahmed dropping the pop-up.
Oh my God. You know,
I'll tell you what though, you know, I went to two games, back-to-back games this week that I went to. Ahmed had 4 hits and 3 hits, you know, it'd be just for you, actually, just for you. Look, Ahmed's number one fan.
I mean, he is what he is. I mean, to go over this on the podcast again is a broken record. Dropping a pop-up, which led to the Neto 2-run homer where the inning would have been over. And, you know, Eli Morgan ended up getting the win on Saturday, and he kind of deserved it because he got 3 outs.
Right, that's true. But
and those runs were unearned. But like, my gosh, catch the ball. Neto's fly. This guy was a number one.
He's good.
Like, number one pick last year, like 13th overall, and is immediately up playing and just making acrobatic plays.
He made a catch this week. That play he made this weekend.
Yeah, on Jimenez.
He is.
And then doubled up Arias.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Arias.
Yeah, let's get into him in one sec, but can I just say one thing? Ahmed's up to 262. So he was hitting about, you know, 215.
Oh, he'll finish the year hitting 285.
So he's actually, I'll give him this. He is hitting the ball, and when he gets on base, he flies around those base paths. I mean, that triple he had this week where he just turns on, he is something else. So he did this week. He had a 4-hit game and 2 3-hit games. So, you know, he's starting to come around. Hey, the bats are warm. You know, I know Zach and TJ hate that bit. Hitting when the weather gets good, they'll start hitting. Yeah. Ahmed is a notorious slow starter, and hopefully, you know, things are improving in that vein, but they're leaving him in the 2-hole. I'm telling you.
My biggest issue, look, he's not, we can do the, he should move out of the 2-hole bit, but it's not happening.
No, and I just, my, they don't have anybody hitting, so it doesn't matter.
Right. My biggest issue is defensively. I think he lacks range. Balls hit right at him. He doesn't, you know, if it's to the left or the right, he doesn't make the play. And we watched what a legit shortstop defensively looks like this weekend in Neto. Even earlier in the week, Baez made a couple of nice plays, and he's a dog, but he's really good on defense. And Ahmed just is, you know, dropping pop-ups. And like we said, Arias missing the cutoff man, and just too many mistakes being made. Zunino made a nice play yesterday, backing up the throw that was away and then tagging the runner on that double play.
Yeah, that was good.
Other than that, it's just they've got to clean it up. And hopefully what happened yesterday, which was amazing, and Naylor doing it again and kind of looking back at the Angel dugout.
That was pretty good.
That springboards them to something big. They've played pretty well the last couple of years up at that dump on the south side in Chicago. So hopefully, you know, they're not facing any lefties in this series coming up. We'll get you the pitching matchups. So that's good. And we'll see where this goes, but hopefully some momentum here. 5-4 homestand, but it would have been a big difference if yesterday they didn't get the Naylor home run and maybe ended up losing. Class A's been an issue. What's up with Manny, man?
Manny
leads the league in saves and leads the league in blown saves. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I'm concerned. And you brought this up last week about, You think it's pitch clock related. I'm concerned. He's just, again, I come back to the fact that he is not striking anyone out.
No.
I mean, yeah, he got the save yesterday, but they had a 3-run lead and he gave up 2 runs. Friday night, he blew the save. Like, and again, on Friday night, by the way, he got the double play ball that he needed. And it, you know, there was the, the guy was stealing, the pinch runner was stealing. He couldn't, and Andres made that terrible throw home. So, you know, maybe things go a little bit differently if, you know, they are able to turn the double play or Andres just takes the out. And I mean, he still would have blown the save, but it's definitely a concern. I mean, this is a guy who is throwing, you know, normally, you know, 99, 100, everything last year was 100, 100, you know, 101, 99, everything. Now we're seeing, you know, 97, 98, 99, which is obviously a concern. I'm just, my biggest issue is he just is not striking guys out. I mean,
no.
he has only in 21 and a third, he's only struck out 13 guys. That's just not him. You know,
Low whiff rate.
Yeah. Well,
no, it's
when it's your closer, it's a big deal. He's 13 strikeouts and 5 walks from your closer in 21 and a third. It's not ideal.
No. No, and he still has a lot of saves, and he still is the guy you got to go to.
I'm not ready to like take him off. I saw some people on Twitter going, "At what point are you thinking about moving to Stefan?" You know, we're not there yet.
No, I think all of these guys are under a lot of pressure. I do think the pitch clock. I mean, I think he had a rhythm and a routine for the last couple of years where he was able to take his time, able to take that extra beat, that extra breath, and now I think he's rushing, and I don't think the location's been there. I mean, okay, so he's not hitting 101, but it's still 99 on occasion or 98, but it had movement, you know, as Jim Price would say, late movement, but like the slider, there was one game, I don't remember which one it was, where he was like throwing all sliders. I'm not sure he's got the confidence right now. And some of it is probably between the ears. And I think the Hedges factor too. I think he loved throwing the Hedges. And I think they had a really good chemistry going. And so it's going to take some more time, but hopefully he gets it turned around. He did his job yesterday, albeit it was a roller coaster. And on Friday, like you said, I mean, Nevin did a good job in the middle of that at bat, pinch runs and immediately starts the runner, or else you're right, that's 4-6-3 and that's the game. So there's some factors that are playing into it, but he's got to get it. We got to get back to the Class A from a year ago, no doubt about it.
Yeah, we just need the bullpen overall to be back to where it was last year. You know, 99's been up and down. It's good to have Big Sam back. I mean, he's just adding a power arm that you can trust at the back end is a huge deal. You know, De Los Santos is, you know, he's fine. You know, it's my guy, but like, it's not like, you know,
ERA's still under 2, I think.
Yeah, no, he does a fine job, but like him and Eli are kind of those guys where it's like, okay, if you got to use them, that's fine. But they're not on the level of Steph in 99 and Class A. So you do have the depth there. And Sam, and put Sam in that top tier category too. I mean, they got a lot of good quality arms out there for sure. It just feels like overall as a group, they're not performing as well as they did last year. I don't ever remember blowing. Like, listen, I think maybe last year we were completely spoiled by the fact that we just did not blow leads. They didn't.
Right.
When they had a lead late, it didn't matter who was pitching in front of Manny or whatever. They just didn't blow leads. This year we've seen that a lot more, and it's probably, you know, kind of a regression to the mean type situation with the pen overall. I don't know. I mean, I think those roles will sort itself out. I'm not all that concerned, but I do worry about Manny a little bit more than we should be. I mean, I was at the game this week, Tuesday night, with the executive producer, and he did say, he said, I thought that the one person that he was the least, or the one area he was least concerned about, was closing. You know, I mean, we're just penciled in Manny to be dominant again, but you know, bullpens can be fickle and just how it goes.
And they don't hold runners well. Karinchak can't hold runners. Class A can't hold runners. So now with the bigger bases, with the, you know, you can't throw over you know, multiple times within an at bat.
Zunino can't throw anyone out. Did you see the thing this week? He said he was going to start bouncing the throws a little bit more to see if that works.
No, I didn't see that.
He was I heard it on the broadcast. They were saying that he was considering like skipping throws to see if they got there faster.
Maybe that would make those throws Johnny on the spot. Speaking
good
of the
God.
Broadcast, what'd you think of the broadcast yesterday? Who's that guy? Vosters, CJ Vosters. I thought it was a little boring.
I'll be honest, I didn't listen. I had it on, so we were at, you know, we were at brunch and I had it on my phone. You saw the photo. And then when we got home, I watched like the last couple innings with volume. It was, I don't know. I don't have an opinion one way or another, but I always like a different perspective in a national broadcast just to hear something different than what we hear normally every time. I mean, Rick, you know, it was interesting to hear Rick with Mark. Was it Mark Gubiza? Was that who the other guy was?
Yeah.
That was kind of a cool thing. I kind of enjoyed having, you know, perspective from both sides, from an, you know, Angels it announcer.
Was,
and
it was all right.
Like, yeah, I kind of like that.
I mean, to me, Naylor hits that home run again. And the guy, the play-by-play guys, I think his name is CJ Vosters. I don't know. I don't know if he's a Syracuse guy or not. I don't know him. But he was like,
aren't the they Colts, all?
but I think like, I don't know. I would have gone a little more crazy. I mean, that was pretty big.
Hammy's call was awesome.
It like, was awesome.
It was one. It was one of his best ones in a couple years. I think he just, it wasn't his standard call, which I liked. It was kind of like he was shocked kind of call. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. But you know, me and you were totally in the tank for Hammy. So,
oh yeah, no, I'm in the tank for the team. If you go on the 92.3 Facebook page,
carrying water, Matt Derry carrying water. For
I carry water for the organization. That's what one of the commenters said. It was pretty funny because I was on with Garrett Bush this weekend on Saturday morning, and they posted the spot. Someone said I carry water. Matt and Todd with you, Derry Brothers Guardians Cast, waitingfornextyear.com. Groove Ride. If you want to work out, you want to go somewhere and break a sweat and really get involved and get back in shape, Todd's the man at Groove Ride. Place is unbelievable, Todd. Unbelievable.
I just want to say promote one thing real quick. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Friday the 26th at 6 p.m. we're doing a mental health awareness ride with two of our top instructors, Brandy and Carly. And then it's going to be followed up with a panel discussion on fitness and mental health combined and how they should be working hand in hand. And we have the one and only Dr. Adam Borland from the Cleveland Clinic joining us along. Yeah,
big shooters.
Yeah, the panel. No, we have a panel of experts. We have, including Dr. Adam Borland. We have three mental health experts that are going to have a Q&A on top of it. Plus you're getting food, drink, and a swag bag full of good stuff. It's $25. If you go to the Groove Ride webpage or the Groove Ride Instagram, there's a link to our Eventbrite page. It's $25 and it's going to be a great evening. And portions of that are also going to go to charity, which we have picked out that kind of speaks to, you know, what we're doing here at Groove Ride with the, you know, with mental health. You know, it's such an important thing. You and I have dealt with a lot of mental health issues in our lives, and we know how important it is. So, you know, the nonprofit group we're going to be donating to is called the Missing Link here in Cleveland, which is great. It's
nice.
Yeah, it's a children's charity. For mental health awareness. And so please come and check it out. Check us out at grooveride.com, GROOVERYDE.com, or check us out at Groove Ride on Instagram. And it's going to be a great evening. So if you want to attend for a good cause, sign up, tell them I sent you. And if you're looking for a great studio, as always, for group fitness, come check us out. Corner of Chagrin and Brainerd in beautiful downtown Woodmere, Ohio. So
there you go.
Check it out.
Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornston, Dr. Sean O'Crew, CFAD.net, and also a Breaking Tea t-shirts. Get your Josh Naylor shirt right now.
I wore it on Tuesday, baby.
It's only $16 at BreakingTea.com/Derry. Yes.
I paid full price. What is that?
Take it to the, it's on sale. BreakingTea.com/Derry. They got the Jose shirt. Heck, they even got an Al Pawlowski and Jensen Lewis shirt. All right, I made that up. But BreakingTea.com/Derry, D-E-R-Y, takes you right to the Cleveland Collection. Get your Browns, Cavs, Guardians gear. Great t-shirts at BreakingTea.com.
Wait, can I say one thing about the broadcast real quick? This weekend, Chris Jimenez.
Oh, the G-Man?
Well, yeah, he was replacing Jensen this weekend. Of all the people they've tried, Pat Tabler, Ellis Burks, Chris Jimenez, and I'll throw Jensen in that mix. I think Jimenez is fantastic. I do. You know, he was always known as a good clubhouse guy, but you can just see it on the broadcast. He's a total natural. He's good.
He does a good job on MLB radio too.
I'm a fan of the G-Man. I was never a fan of his catch of his game, but I am a fan of his announcing, his analyst style. He's good.
He does a good job. All right. So
you want to talk about Gabby?
What are we doing in right field? Because, you know, Terry Francona is trying everything. It's obvious. Oscar Gonzalez is back in Columbus. He's not doing badly. I don't think he's tearing it up per se, but he's hitting.
He had a three.
Last I checked, he was six for his first 17 or something. And I think eventually that he's going to come back up. I think he needed some time to breathe. He needed to play every day. But this Arias Brennan platoon is weak.
It's turning into Michaels and DeLucci style here.
Oh, mercy. And I don't really know what to say. I mean, I know they're trying everything. They want to give Arias an opportunity. He made a nice play Saturday on a ball slicing toward the line, so he's not horrible defensively.
No, it's never been about Arias's glove. His glove is good, and I got to give him credit. He's got a cannon out there. He's learning. He looks like he can catch the ball fine. It's the bat that's the problem.
I mean, he's striking out every other at bat. I mean, he's like 26 of 54 or something in their strikeouts of a bat. I mean, it's ridiculous. And
I got his numbers here. It's not looking good here for him. He has 10 hits, 7 singles, 2 doubles and a homer. He's only walked 6 times and he's struck out 26 times in 55 at bats, like you said, and that's not going to cut it.
So, I mean, the question is what do you, I mean, how much longer do you try this? Obviously, you want to give a guy some sample size. You want to give Arias a chance. My guess is the front office is pushing this because, heck, he was on the playoff roster last year and not Tyler Freeman. Freeman's up, but he never plays, ever.
I don't understand that either.
And so,
insane.
You know, I guess you kind of say, well, where are you going to play Freeman? You got an all-star second baseman, you got an all-star third baseman, and the shortstop, everybody and the organization loves him in the clubhouse. So where do you play Freeman? You got to find a place to play him. But, you know, right field's been a problem. I mean, you look this week, all right, 3 games, 3 righties against the White Sox. Do you just play Brennan 3 games? What do you do? I mean, I know they're trying to give guys opportunities, but, man, neither of them are hitting. Brennan's not hitting. So it's a struggle bus right now.
Yeah. Brennan and Arias, and we'll even go to Oscar when he was here, none of them are producing in right field. It's become a total black hole. And when right field and catcher are black holes, that certainly doesn't help things. As for Freeman,
center field hasn't been much better this month.
Well, but again, if we're counting on Miles Straw to be the guy who's going to hit, then we're in trouble.
I'm just saying.
Yes. You're. I got you. So
he's not going anywhere. I love Miles Straw, but I'm just saying.
Me too.
Three spots that that are producing no offense. 3 in the lineup. That's 33%.
Okay, so this week, how many lefties did we face? At least 3, right? The Tigers
this past week?
Yes.
5. 5. Wentz, Rodriguez, and the 3 Angel.
Okay. So 5 lefties. Would you like to know how many at bats that Tyler Freeman got this week?
Total. 2?
4. He got 4. 1 start against 5 lefties.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I understand the infield situation, but here, do this. And I'm going to say something that's going to be counterproductive to how much we were just talking about how great Josh Naylor was. Naylor can't hit lefties. I mean, I know he went deep this weekend, but why wouldn't it have been one day Freeman plays second base, one day Freeman plays shortstop, one day Freeman plays third, all these guys DH, you know, or DH Freeman, or, you know, I know Freeman's not playing outfield, so I understand that, but like there's zero reason he didn't get 3 starts at a minimum this week. If he's here, he should be playing more. If he's not going to be here, then what are we doing? I mean, you know, they turned Arias into an outfielder and now all of a sudden, you know, he's playing outfield. I'd rather see Arias play shortstop if he's going to play anything. But Freeman is known as a high contact guy, right? The type of hitting profile that they like. Let's see it then. What's he doing up here if he's just going to be buried? And you just said this week we're facing no lefties, and last week we faced five. He got one start against five lefties. How many starts do you think he's going to get this week?
Right. Yeah.
Maybe one. Maybe.
And it'd be different if Arias couldn't play short. Then you'd have, but you have a backup shortstop in Arias if something were to happen to Rosario. You know,
right.
David Fry came up. I don't know. Like, David Fry is probably 4A, but like, he came up, and then for the first five games, he never played.
He got to catch this week, though, baby.
Ooh, he almost threw a runner out. But like,
yeah, we do have to talk about that catching situation too next.
Well, that's not good either. But like, I don't know. I would like. It's obvious that the organization prefers Arias to Freeman. We saw it in September and October last year, and now we're seeing it now. They're giving Gabby Arias every opportunity, and so far he's done very little. The swing's too long. On defense, he's fine wherever you put him. Shortstop, he's actually a better defensive shortstop than Ahmed. But, you know, so is Adam Borland. But, like, it's, you know, so – in a right field, he's been okay, but got to get some more offense from your corner outfield. And, you know, Kwan's starting to get on base now. He looks like he's heating up. Naylor obviously has saved us. You know, Josh Bell has had some good late inning at bats. Need more power from him. But, man, yeah. Right field and, like you said, catcher. And, look, we got to, you know, transition to it. I mean, Bo Naylor is a monster. In Columbus, and another two home run games Saturday, including one off a left-hander, a no doubter under right center. What are you waiting for? I mean, I've seen what I need to see from Zunino. I know the neck has been a problem. And I mean, Gallagher's 0 for his last 33. I'm sorry. We love the front office and Cernanetti, and we talk about it. What a terrible job by this front office to evaluate the catching situation. And over the last few years, I mean, you know, Hedges, whatever, they got him in the trade, the Clevinger deal, and he was really good in terms of leadership. But man, I mean, if pick a lane and go with it, I guess. To start the season with Zunino and Gallagher, and then you're trying then the Valoria situation and now Fry, it's a mess. It's a mess.
To me, this is pretty cut and dry. Zunino can't hit, and he can't field. Cam Gallagher cannot hit. He's hitting like 030 or something. He's, you know, two.
He also doesn't throw anybody out.
He hasn't gotten a hit since April 9th.
Oh, my God.
April 9th was his last hit. It's like enough already. Let's get Bo uphill.
And I'm not saying Mabry's Valoria would have been this giant upgrade over Gallagher, but.
No, they're both 4A.
Would he have been worse?
Well, here, just put it this.
Let's bring up Zach Collins. Woo!
Zach Collins tearing it up in AAA, by the way.
Another 4A.
But he's 4A, right.
He shops at the Heinen's off exit 4A.
Yeah. It's just, listen, Cam Gallagher does a nice job with the staff. I will give him that. He is much better defensively than Zunino.
He's not that good, though. I'm so tired of saying catchers do a nice job with the staff.
I know. My point is, they could have gotten the same type. I mean, this is basically Austin Hedges without the good defense. And the whole point of signing Zunino was that, oh, you know, he not only can he handle the staff, but he's got some pop, you know?
It's not working.
No. Your offense is not working. And you have your top prospect
plays
in AAA
that position.
Who plays that position, tearing it up. What are we waiting for? Cam Gallagher is 2 for 39 on the season. It's like, you want to keep Zunino because you gave him $6 million. Fine. Let him back up Bo. Teach Bo the ropes. He's a veteran. Play. Even if you wanted to start slow and go, okay, Bo, you're going to play four times and Zunino, you're going to play three. You know, I'm fine with that. It's just like, what are we're wasting our time here. The guy has clearly shown down in AAA that he can handle it. And you can't give me the old, oh, well, he needs more seasoning behind the plate. Because you're watching Zunino shit the bed back there. So what's the so seriously, you can't tell me that right now Bo Naylor is worse defensively than Zunino is, right? I mean, blocking perspective and a throwing perspective, maybe calling the game, I understand that, you know, but
Right.
It's time. You need the offense.
It's May 15th. We're not calling them up in August where it's a major pennant race. You're going to let them breathe by bringing them up now.
And plus, he's already been up last year, so it's not like he's going to be awed by – I mean, I'm not saying played a lot, but he was up on the playoff roster. He was here. He's seen – he's been around the Major League clubhouse. That none of that stuff should be affecting
his
him.
His brother's on the team. That should help.
That too.
I mean, like, I'm with you. I'm usually Mr. Patient, and sometimes, wait till June 1st or wait till whatever. No, I mean, the catching situation is bad. And Bo Naylor just – he's probably done all he can do with AAA now. Seriously.
Have you confirmed the date where, so he's not a, we get the extra year.
I was looking this up last night. I think it changed. I don't think it's the new rules.
I don't think
the service time rules are what they used to be, which was June 1st or certain number of games. I think now it's
so
changed.
If that's the case.
Then just get him up here already.
I know. Like, enough's enough. Seriously. I mean,
and you want to start him on the road?
No offense,
but U.S. Cellular Field or whatever they call it.
Guaranteed rate field?
It's not a hostile environment. Now, I wouldn't bring him up this weekend in New York. That might
only
be a little
in
much.
New York.
But bring him up now.
I said
hopefully he's on the plane today. But and you're exactly. Right. You DFA Gallagher and call it a day.
I said it to you and the executive producer over the weekend on the text. Bo should be in that, should be meeting the team in Chicago. There's no excuses not to. He 100% should be there. I can't see any reason. There's no reasons at this point to leave him down in AAA. There's none. It'd be one thing if Zunino and Gallagher were doing a great job and they were hitting and they were defending and you want to give Bo more seasoning, fine. Your offense is terrible right now. Were like historically bad, and you have someone who can help you in AAA, bring him up here and play him. It's pretty simple for me.
Yeah. And I also know what the front office is probably thinking of from a balance perspective. Bo Naylor is
another left-handed bat. I don't care.
I mean, was this a hot topic at last night's Mother's Day dinner or what? What did you get mom's thoughts on Bo Naylor at all? Or
We did not discuss Guardians baseball last night at dinner. I'm trying to think if we did or if we didn't. Actually, we did because Andrew said he wants a couple of games for him and his friends to go. He's like, yeah, Dad, I'm gonna, you know, now that he has his driver's license, he wants to go to games.
Oh, he wants to go downtown and drive?
Not with me. He wants to take a friend. So.
All right.
It's fine. So I think that was the most Guardians talk. Oh, no, I did talk to her about Josh Naylor hitting three homers. In 3/8 innings in a row.
I did see your daughter posted the video on IG, so that's good. So she's still
she
on
loves
top
her
of it.
Squad, baby. Loves her squad.
Oh man. Well, I mean, I think that we've exhausted this. I mean, again, you know, they're right there. I mean, they're 2 under .500. The Twins aren't running away with the division, although they beat up on the Cubs this weekend, which is not that difficult to do. They got to start a West Coast trip. They're going to the Dodgers this weekend. It's time to make up some ground or this week. And starts tomorrow night. You want some pitching matchups? Let's do it. We got a day game on Thursday, by the way. But Guardians off day today, then Tuesday night in Chicago against the White Sox. Lance Lynn and his ballooning over seven ERA.
Yeah, don't I know it? Member of 10% capacity.
Yeah, he blows. We got to beat up on him.
Yeah,
Bieber
blows.
And Lynn tomorrow. Battenfield and Clevenger on Wednesday.
Oh, baby, we get to see Clev.
How's good old Mike doing? Hope he's behaving.
High quality individual.
Logan Allen on Thursday afternoon against Michael Kopech. That's another guy that has not pitched well at all for the White Sox. Really, we're missing their top two guys, Cease and Giolito. So got to take advantage here.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, Cal Quantrill against Joey Lucchese. We'll have that on during the Rays
Fest or D's Rays. Yeah.
And then we've worked on that Saturday 4:10 start. Tanner Bibee against Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I saw the bad news this weekend. We got to face that? Scherzer and Verlander.
Yeah,
Turdlander.
Sunday night baseball for Bieber and Verlander.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I'm going to have to turn the volume down because that Sunday night broadcast is brutal.
Oh, you don't like Ravi?
No, he's boring.
Awful. That's actually worse at college basketball than he is at baseball.
That's a brutal broadcast. That'll be, I'll have to sync it up on the.
Why don't you go to the K-Rod? Are they still doing that on ESPN2?
I believe so.
That last year only.
Michael K. Yeah.
You know what's sad?
I'll pass on that too.
You know what's sad? I don't know. I feel like 20 years ago, we used to watch Sunday Night Baseball. I very rarely do anymore.
Oh, yeah. It used to be. I mean, look, for as much as Joe Morgan annoyed us, John and Joe are awesome. You know, and what makes no sense to me is that John Shambi does the Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio, and he's better than the TV broadcast. Don't you want your better people on television?
Well, he does. He's doing Cubs play by play, so maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
No, but, no, he could still do the TV.
You know who loved Joe Morgan? Dad.
Oh, I hated him. So three with the White Sox, three with the Mets. The redacted ex-shortstop goes against his former team for the first time. Right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Brooke brought it up. Brooke's like, when the Mets come here, can we go? And I was like, it's next year.
Right.
She wants to go and boo them. The redacted one.
Sunday night baseball. That's still pretty cool to be on Sunday night.
I'm excited when it's my team. I just don't care when it's other people's teams.
Speaking of TV and stuff, and then we'll wrap it up. Like, I was driving in the car on Friday, and I put on Shannon and Skip Undisputed because I think sometimes it's funny to listen to.
I was going to say, why?
They're funny. Like, it's, you know, I'm a Skip fan.
It's WWE radio.
But like, they don't talk about baseball.
No,
ever.
No one does. No, like, you listen to SV Pod.
Yes, I do.
You know, I listen to Russillo, the executive producer, our boy. You know, none of these big sport bills. I don't listen to Bill Simmons, but they don't talk baseball. No one does unless you're going into a baseball specific pod. You're not getting baseball talk. Never. No.
Cowherd, Dan Patrick, none of them talk about baseball. Dan Patrick does a little, but like mostly it's NBA and NFL, and that's it.
But you know, you've been in the business forever. It doesn't move the needle. They want you talking NFL all the time.
What about Bill Needle? Rest in peace.
I won't say it.
Oh, man. Next week, we'll shout out Kenny Rota. Is he still on the radio?
Yes, he is somewhere in like Akron or something.
Nice. All right.
Road man.
That's right.
The road man's road crew.
What did you say?
I said the road man's road crew. What about Sindelar?
Oh, my God. All right. That'll do it for the Dairy Brothers Guardians cast. WaitingForNextYear.com is where where we originate, the Evergreen Podcast Network. Thanks to the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Groove Ride, Breaking Tea T-shirts. Have a great week. Hopefully we're talking about a good road trip here. And let's see if this Naylor weekend can save the season and jumpstart the fellas. And let's see if there's any moves made by the front office this week. We are officially out of room and out of here.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.